centimeter-accurate satellite navigation and a companion to the GPS system. I'm Pete Combs, and this is AeroNews. It's Friday, January 20th, 2006. The European Space Agency and Galileo Industries Thursday signed a deal for the delivery of 4 navigation satellites, part of the system Europeans are building to rival, or perhaps complement, the U.S. Global Positioning System. Unlike GPS, however, Galileo is a civilian-controlled entity. It will eventually include a network of 30 satellites, and it will be GPS-compatible. Jean-Marc Gagnier is the GNS project manager at CMC Electronics in Canada. He says Galileo will build upon the success and upon the lessons learned by GPS. How does Galileo, in this particular iteration, how does it differ from GPS? Are there any practical differences of note?
Well, the Europeans are, I would say, kind of lucky, because there are tons of European PhDs and specialists who have been working for the last 10, 20 years on GPS, so they really benefit from all the lessons learned of GPS. So knowing all about GPS, they can do only better. And really, it's only a natural thing, because they have all the natural the lessons learned.
Could you give me an example of how Galileo might be better than GPS?
Galileo will use multiple frequencies to transmit the aircraft, the position to the systems, the different ground receivers. It's been known by GPS specialists for many years that by having a single civil frequency, we call it L1, there is a major source of error caused by ionospheric, when the wave travel to the ionosphere, they are slowed down, ionospheric delays. And by having a second frequency, the receiver can compute what that delay to the ionosphere is and have a more precise position fix.
So in other words, it can cancel out or accommodate that interference.
Exactly. The receiver will have multiple frequencies and will be able to compute independently what the ionospheric error is, so correct that themselves. With GPS, what has happened is that the ionospheric delay being the main source of error, that is now being compensated by the WAAS system, but the WAAS system has required that the U.S. deploy geostationary satellites to correct the error of the GPS signals themselves.
So the European fix would seem to be a little more elegant and certainly a lot more cost-effective.
Well, again, this is the fact that they have all the lessons learned. They now deploy the second and the third frequency up front, while the Americans will deploy these frequencies in the future. They have already pretty much decided that they're going to deploy a second frequency L5 in a few years from now. But now the Europeans benefit from a time advantage because they have no satellites in the air. They can launch new satellites with these multiple frequencies, while the Americans have to wait until there is a replenishment requirement for their satellites to launch second frequencies.
This obviously is a big opportunity for CMC to have a second network available and something to build upon. Tell me some of the products that you're now contemplating or putting into production to accommodate Galileo.
Well, CMC is specialized in what we call safety of life receivers for aircraft. For the last 15 years, CMC has manufactured thousands of receivers which are currently flying, but they were used essentially for en route application. Well, the aircraft flies on top of the ocean is really when they are better used, or on the ground, they can be used, but not as primary systems. With Galileo, there is now an opportunity to use these systems to do other missions, such as landing aircraft. Mind you, this will be done with GPS, and we're developing that for GPS right now, but there is all kinds of technical tricks. Like I mentioned, the additional geostationary satellites are required with GPS. Also, the integrity of the receivers with GPS cannot do the very high precise landing, while with Galileo, all the most mission critical operation will be allowed with Galileo because they will have very high integrity, built-in second frequency, and stuff like that.
When you say land the plane, are you talking about should the pilot become incapacitated through Galileo, someone could actually land that plane safely?
Well, that's it. With GPS right now, the best that can be achieved is to do a precision approach, but down to 250 feet. That's the decision height, decision altitude. With current aircraft technology, there are different categories of landings, CAT 1, 2, and 3. And GPS allows a sub-CAT 1 performance, not even CAT 1. CAT 1 is 200 feet down. GPS now, with the geostationary satellite, with WAS augmentation, can go down only to 250 feet. When Galileo will be available, we will certainly be able to land an aircraft, not only CAT 1, 200 feet, but CAT 2, 100 feet, CAT 3, 50 feet, and even CAT 3B, which is auto-landing. There will certainly be a much better possibility. I'm not saying that this is not going to take a lot of R&D and years to get certified, but there's a good chance that this will be able to, that will be possible to do auto-landing. This, of course, will take many years, but it could be done.
That's pretty amazing. That's a lifesaver for sure, because how many people suffer incapacitating illnesses in the air and the flight for want of a pilot could be lost?
Well, I would say one of the big drivers for that is to save money for airlines. So in case of bad weather, they do not have to revert to different airports or cannot even go there. You know, today when you go to Chicago, for example, on a busy morning, if the weather is bad in Chicago, their capacity of landing airplanes have reduced, have gone down. So the airport, let's say you take off from L.A., the pilot calls from L.A., Chicago, and he knows he has reduced capacity because they have bad weather there, so it may delay taking off from L.A., and that happens all the time. With this kind of systems, the pilot will be able to land the airplane easier, even in case of bad weather, and there will not be anymore that reduction of capacity at Chicago, so you will be able to take off on time. That means for airlines a lot of savings, time, fuel, don't need to detour aircraft in case of bad weather and pay hotels and accommodations for passengers. On top of that, with air traffic capacity being increased all the time, more and more airplanes, this becomes very important to be able to land airplanes in bad weather.
And bigger airplanes.
Bigger airplanes and safer all the time.
The A380 obviously comes to mind in that situation.
Yes, the A380 comes to mind in that situation. Can you imagine an airplane with 700 or 800 passengers who is waiting for half an hour because there's bad weather in Chicago, same example? The cost of that are high. And if you can save that half an hour because you can say go, even if when you reach Chicago the weather is not great, you have the systems on board to land.
That's fascinating. Let me ask you, Jean-Marc, what other future applications do you see because Galileo is coming?
We're really focusing on aviation here, but certainly there's a lot of application in marine, in cars, in all transport vehicles, in timing. GPS has been exploiting most of these fields right now, but GPS technology had to develop all kinds of workarounds to allow to be very precise, to be very safe. Like I mentioned, the second satellite, I can mention the surveying systems, which exist today, fairly accurate surveying systems, but are very expensive because they need to have a lot of workarounds, the GPS signals, which of course, it was already an incredible system, and it was first deployed to be able to have your position anywhere on Earth. But with Galileo, with the multiple signals, with the multiple services, all these systems will be more precise and will be more safer.
We'll hear more of this interview with CMC Electronics' Jean-Marc Gagnier in just a moment. But first, this Aerocast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
Why can't your aircraft engine help you be a good neighbor wherever you fly? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years. Why can't an airplane engine be just as quiet and just as reliable? Well, now it can. Check out the new leaner, cleaner, and quieter V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. The V220 and V300T engines are capable of meeting and exceeding the most stringent noise regulations. The 3-to-1 propeller speed reduction unit keeps propeller tip speeds down to reduce noise. The engine management system reduces workload by providing single lever control, increasing safety and operating the engine at peak fuel efficiency. The EMS system allows the use of unleaded fuel, eliminating the need for reliance on avgas. In addition, the option of using automotive fuel can result in a significant cost savings. The V220 and V300T engines are significantly quieter and cleaner running than the existing engine designs used in today's aircraft. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
When you can't be flying, you'd rather be, well, flying. Wings to Adventure Television is the next best thing. Hi, I'm Tom Gresham. Come join us as we fly old classics and new speedsters. We hit the best aviation museums and reveal fly-in hideaways. And it's all shot in breathtaking high-definition video. As host and producer, I get to pick what's on the show. So I always have fun, and I guarantee that you will too. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Airtimes and days are at wingstoadventure.com.
Welcome back to our AeroNews special feature, what I found to be a fascinating discussion with CMC's Chief of GNSS Product Development, Jean-Marc Gagnier. We're talking about the new Galileo navigation satellite constellation. It's going up now. It should be operational in just 4 years. Jean-Marc, will CMC develop dual receivers capable of receiving both GPS and Galileo?
Yeah, it took many years for Europe to get the frequency scheme approved for Galileo, because one of the very essential features of their system was to use the same frequencies as GPS. They have additional frequencies, but the basic Galileo system works on the same frequencies in GPS. I mentioned the L1, so the same receiver can receive both signals. These systems are all digital. So that means the RF circuitry is all the same, and it's a matter of digital processing. The computers inside those receivers will be able to make the distinction of the GPS signal and the Galileo signal, will be interoperable with both constellations, so you will gain the best of both constellations. And what this does is that when you have a certain number of satellites in view to compute your position of one constellation, let's say GPS, you can also use the GPS satellite, the Galileo satellites in view, and you have more satellites, better position fix, you're safer, because even if you lose some satellites, you see what happens if you, for example, have your GPS navigator in your car, and you are in a downtown somewhere with big buildings, you lose these satellites because you have satellites all around in the sky. You have a few satellites at high altitudes, but you have satellites at low elevation, east, west, south. So you lose these satellites when you're downtown. And your navigation system doesn't perform very well. I don't know if you've tried that before. That's called the urban canyon. That limits the availability of GPS satellites in the downtown. With Galileo, maybe you're going to have, instead of one, right now, sometime downtown, you have only one, two, three satellites that can be seen, and you need a minimum of four, so you lose the tracking. So with Galileo, maybe you have another one, two, three satellites that you can see. The total combination of both constellations will be five, six satellites, and you can keep rolling downtown.
If you put Galileo in combination with GPS, how accurate would something like that be when you're looking at five or six or seven or eight satellites as opposed to three or four?
Well, Galileo will have five different services. I mentioned that. And what they're going to do is they're going to have the so-called professional service, which is going to be very accurate. And that's certainly going to be able to do a sub-centimeter accuracy, better than 1 centimeter. Right now, I mentioned before, with GPS, it's possible to do centimeter-type accuracy. However, you require very complex systems and computers and specialized software. Those types of receivers currently sell for around $50,000, surveying accurate receiver. With Galileo, that will make that technology affordable for a few thousand dollars, maybe $1,000, because this is practically going to be built in the constellation.
That's something I think pilots would want to see no matter where in the world they are.
Well, the accuracy, yes, of course, the pilots want to see that, but the more important word in aviation is integrity. What's very important is that with more satellites, not only you're more precise. You know, for aircraft, a few meters is acceptable. You don't really need a centimeter. But integrity is really the key word. That means when you navigate an aircraft based on satellite signals, you are sure absolutely of where you are because, you know, the risk of not knowing exactly where you are is collisions with other aircraft, collisions with mountains, collisions with terrain. So by increasing the accuracy to something like one chance out of a million, that's the kind of generic number that we're talking about in aviation, then you know pretty much where you are. There is always a possibility not to be exactly as accurate as you know. The accuracy is really a statistical function. So you know, let's say 99% of the time that you are within 1 meter, and you know 99.9% that you know within a better accuracy. A smaller accuracy. Overall, what's important is to be able to increase what we say the number of zeros or the number of nines when you talk about accuracy. So five nines, 99.999% of the time to know where you are. This is indeed for aviation more important than to know exactly where you are within centimeter. There are other two key parameters which are important that Galileo will help improve. One is called availability, and I mentioned there's going to be more satellites, so it's going to be more available. Wherever you're going to be around the planet, you're going to get many satellites, so you're going to be able to navigate with GPS. And the fourth parameter is called continuity. That means when you start to land an aircraft based on GPS and Galileo position, that you are very, very sure that you're going to be able to touch the ground before there is any glitch in those signals. This is important because you start a landing maneuver based on GPS navigation. You want to make sure that you don't lose these signals while you're at it. You know, it's not time just before you touch the ground to lose this position because these signals can control the aircraft. You couple the autopilot to these signals. When I mentioned the auto landing, which is the long-term objective to do with satellite navigation, that means the position that you receive to your satellite directly is coupled to the aircraft directly, is coupled to the autopilot, directs the aircraft to land on a runway. So if for example, you start a landing maneuver and you lose the GPS signals or navigation signals, then the aircraft doesn't know where to go anymore. It's not a, it's not exactly good. So continuity is also important.
Jean-Marc, I appreciate your talking to us very much. This has been fascinating. I understand that Galileo will begin service, am I correct, in 2008?
2010. Right now, the Europeans are saying that they don't want to have the constellation later than 2010, but 2008 has been pushed away by about 2 years because of the negotiation it took with the different players for the first stages. There are still negotiations going on for the concessionaire because you may know that Galileo is going to be a private, public-private partnership between European Union and a concessionaire. The concessionaire, there is only one shortlisted right now, is a consortium of many companies, and the concessionaire will be a private company that will operate the constellation. That negotiation with the concessionaire is still ongoing. It's been about 2 years. Was supposed to be decided a year ago in 2005, and it's still ongoing. Apparently, they are pretty close, but they need to complete that negotiation. The public sector is responsible to launch the test satellites, but they want the private sector, the concessionaires, be responsible to launch the full constellation. So they're going to hopefully complete their negotiations in 2006, and then they have to put their act together to develop and deploy a constellation. It's actually the largest constellation of satellites on the planet, 30 satellites to be launched between now and 2010. So I think that 4 years is really required to do that. Actually, 5 years between now, early 05 and the end of 2010.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you at the airport.